with more of the interview with Alvin Hall, Janae Woods-Weber, and Jamie Stout.
I think when I was able to listen to your podcast, it just made me appreciate even more being able to hear the real true stories, because a lot of times Hollywood does take these amazing stories and these amazing things and they twist them in a certain way. So people have certain ideas about, you know, certain things that have happened in history. I'm wondering now, what was the journey like of actually going on this Green Book journey for you all and talking to different people? It had to be very fascinating and I think life-changing.
Certainly life-changing for me. Alvin and I think we shared a lot of common experiences and common feelings on this trip, but I think the way that we approached it and ultimately what we walked away with were a little bit different for a couple of reasons. One, Alvin is a native Southerner. I grew up in New England in a virtually all-white community with my mom. She's my biological mother, but she's white, so I wasn't surrounded by Blackness as a child. So even though my father, the paternal side of my family does hail from the South, from Alabama, I had never spent any significant amount of time in the South. So for me, it was almost like pulling back the curtain and being able to peep into this history, this way of life that my ancestors were deeply part of, but which I have never had the opportunity to experience. So being on the road and visiting all of these communities where important historical events happened, talking with folks who were recalling what their everyday lives were like, with the people that they shared their homes and their communities with, really opened my eyes to really just the breadth and the beauty of the Black experience in America, and just how special and different the Southern experience is from the Northern experience. In a lot of ways, it was like a journey of discovery, but at the same time, it also felt a little bit like a homecoming to a home where a place was always prepared for me. They were just waiting for me to show up.
And for me, it connected to so much of my past, my uncles, my aunts, the voices, the way they spoke about life. There were so many times when I had no barrier to the emotions of their stories. They would simply wash through me. And I really struggled. I would look at Janae and she would look at me and we would have tears in our eyes. It brought back memories of so many things. All the people who moved north, but then would bring their children back home south in the summer so they could stay with the grandparents and play in the yard and have that Southern experience. It reminded me of my first trip north and seeing what cities were like and how different it was. It was a rich experience in so, so many ways. But I agree with Janae 100% that we were given a gift, that the people became comfortable with us, they trusted us, and they told us stories that we suspect that they had not spoken of in many, many years.
What was one of the most compelling stories that you encountered on this journey?
Well, I still think of Hank Turner's story, the one in the episode called The Elders, in which he talks about being in school and how the children laughed at him when he said he wanted to be a lawyer, and how that just became, that just made him even more determined to do this. He was going to be a lawyer, even if they laughed at him. It's a powerful story. And then that segues into a reminiscence about his mother when we ask him, where do you think your strength came from? And he tells us the story about his mother. They only had one chair in the house and she would sit them down on the floor, surround this one chair. And she would say, this big poor family is always in trouble, but things are really bad now. But don't worry, I'm at my best when things are bad. And she was amazing. And then Janae asked the most simple, brilliant question. What is your mother's name? That phrase, say their name, say her name. It was just brilliant. It was a moment I will never forget.
Ooh, every time I think about that moment, I get chills. That's a moment that will live with me forever. There were so many stories, sad stories, joyful stories, stories that make you wonder at the absurdity of racism, stories that make you wonder how it's so absurd that we're still dealing with some of the same exact things right now, 30, 40, 50 years later. But what stood out most for me was how many people shared stories of similar experiences. Getting ready to go on a road trip with your family to visit family that lived a few states over. Waking up while it was still dark out to pack up the car. Your daddy had made sure that the wheels on the car were ready to go, that you had a full tank of gas and maybe some extra in the trunk. Your mom had been working all day the day before to make fried chicken and to make some biscuits for you to pack on the road because you wouldn't be able to stop. You got on the road, you drove all day straight through. You did not stop until you got to where you were going. And then when you arrived at your destination, you were met with open arms by people who had been anxiously waiting for your safe arrival. They ushered you into their home. Sometimes they weren't even people that you knew. They were folks who had heard from people in their church or at the barber shop that so-and-so's uncle or so-and-so's cousin is coming through to town and they need a safe place to stay before they get back on the road to finish their journey. In some ways, that experience, it's like a rite of passage, but also I think that's a really important piece of history for us to hold on to because that's a big part of the cultural narrative around what it means to be Black in America that gets missed, is that there are all of these precautions and rules and protocols that get placed upon Black people so that we know how to survive in a country where our presence is not welcome. And yet we find ways to work around those and to also build community at the same time so that we can thrive and be resilient. And there's such a beauty and a power in that. That was one of the lessons that I wasn't expecting to learn during this 2000 plus mile road trip, but it was the one that was so evidently clear in every single community that we stopped in and every person that we talked to.
Just hearing this as a young Black woman is just so amazing to me. And I'm just wondering, would you all suggest that other Black people or other people should go on this journey too to maybe get some of this history?
Absolutely. I've done parts of this journey now 3 times. I've been to Montgomery, Birmingham, Selma, Memphis, all up and down these towns. And what you discover along what's called the Historic Civil Rights Trail, as well as any of the associated towns like Little Rock, is that what's there is the spirit of the people who fought. We all know those images because they're in the newspapers and magazines all the time. But when you are standing there in the presence of it, it is so, so powerful. Janae and I went together to see what's known as the Lynching Memorial. And I think what she has to say about that is just so powerful. She captures it much better in words than I do, I think.
The Lynching Memorial is a... Let's put it this way. I'm grateful I got to go there, but it was so hard being there. I'm not sure when or if I could go back anytime soon because I'm still trying to process what I felt when I was there. When you walk up to the memorial, what you see are rows upon rows of giant, heavy stone monuments that have the names of terror victims, of lynching victims, engraved on them, organized by county, by state. And as you walk through the memorial, you're walking down an incline. So as you walk down the incline, these large, heavy monuments begin to rise up above you like bodies hanging from ropes. And as you descend even deeper into the memorial, you start to see plaques on the wall that describe, I don't want to call them reasons because there's no reason for a terror killing, but that describe the circumstances that led to people becoming victims and their normal everyday things. A young Black boy is purported to have looked at a white woman. So he was murdered. So-and-so was owed someone a small amount of money. So they were lynched. This couple was walking in this town after dark, a sundown town. So they were murdered. And as you exit the memorial, you see what at first looks like a graveyard of tombstones, but you realize they are replicas of all of the monuments that are hanging in the memorial, and they are laying there in wait, waiting for the counties that they belong to claim them, because each monument lists the names of each victim by county. I believe at this time, all of the monuments are still there waiting to be claimed. And to me, that just really speaks to this lack of reconciliation with the past, lack of wanting to hold the responsibility for what has happened in the communities where we live. And until we're willing to tell the truth and to take ownership of what our real history is, it is very difficult, probably impossible, for us to really formulate full plans for how we move forward. That was such an important day on our travel. And of course, I think it was the hottest day that we were there. So even as we are under this blazing sun, it was so hot, and I'm looking at this memorial, I'm also thinking, this is the same kind of heat that my ancestors picked cotton in. I have the option to go sit in the shade. I can go get a drink of water. No one is controlling my time. No one can tell me what to do. So as you walk through that memorial as a Black person, there are so many feelings that come to you around what your current experience is like compared to the experiences of those who came before us. And you are left with a deep sorrow, but also a deep gratitude for how far we have come, even though we know we are nowhere close to being finished with the work of justice.
As you were talking about that, I just kept thinking about how as Black people, seeing things like that are so emotional and important to our history. But for people of other races, do you think it's important for them to learn so they can help, you know, everything in this society become better, as we're seeing all the killings from this summer and the political environment we're living in? How can you encourage other people of other races to really take a step back and to appreciate our history?
That's one of the purposes of the podcast, to put this in a context and provide people with new information that they don't know. How many people knew that in every town there was a thriving Black community? Walnut Street in Louisville, Kentucky, Ferry Street in Jackson, Mississippi. How many people know there were businesses there, that there were entrepreneurs who started businesses? When we walked down Ferry Street, there was still the funeral home and the florist, but there had been a department store, movie theaters, restaurants. So even in segregation, there was this spirit, this entrepreneurship that was prevalent in the Black community. I think by giving people the true narrative and hearing stories told by people in their own voices, it may create more empathy with African Americans and the true experience that we have lived, not the experience that was eliminated from the textbooks or reduced to a few short sentences, but the lives that people lived. I remember when we interviewed Dr. Evelyn Nettles at Tennessee State University, and she talked about why her parents probably did not tell her about the Green Book. I remember she paused and she said, "You know what? We lived it." And that is the thing that is important to communicate to other people.
I don't even know what to say. I just want to thank you all for going on that journey, because some people may see how long it takes to go on that journey and say, "Yeah, I'm not going to do that." But to be able to tell the stories and to be able to expose the realness of it, because this was a real thing. It's not fiction and it wasn't a book. It's, you know, this is real. This is real life. This is what has happened. And so for you all to be able to do that I really thank you, because there needs to be an exposure of this, not just in our community, in all communities, because people don't know, or they're ignorant to the fact of things that have happened. So for you all to be able to do this, it's wonderful. And I'm just so glad that Springfield will be able to experience this in a way. And Jamie, I want to invite you right now to tell us about the webinar and what's coming up in Springfield, so our audience will get a good chance to listen and become more educated, especially as Black History Month is underway and we're just trying to move on in society and trying to get people to understand and actually learn.
Absolutely. Well, again, thanks for having us. And the mission of the African American History Museum is to tell authentic African American history stories that happened right here. And these are obviously stories that did affect Springfield, Illinois. We do have deep roots also connected to the Green Book. At one point, we had over 24 locations here in Springfield that were recognized in the Green Book. And so we're really excited to see and hear the passion that Janae and Alvin had from their journey. And I know when I listened to the podcast, I've listened to it again since then. It's short and easy read or listen, I suppose. You can see and feel the emotion and the passion that they have for this cause. And I just knew that Springfield could grow and learn by also hearing their story and can relate to be able to just, like I said, authentic stories are important to us and to be able to continue to educate future generations and those that right now, everyone needs to hear this kind of stuff.
So can you give us information about when the webinar is, how people can register and get connected?
Absolutely. So you can go to our website for the Springfield and Central Illinois African American History Museum. It's spiaahm.org. You can Google it as well. But our webinar is going to be 7 p.m. on February 10th. It's about an hour long. You can register from our website. You can also go to our Facebook page. We have an event there. We've been trying to promote each episode of the podcast on our Facebook weekly so that people have had time to listen ahead of time, come prepared with questions. But even if you don't, even if you haven't listened ahead of time, it's free, open to anyone. Please share it out. Even if people aren't in Springfield, we want everyone to join in on this because like Janae and Alvin said, this is a nationwide history. So anybody can learn. So they're gonna tell their stories and things that they learned along the way. And we're also partnering with Root History here in Springfield. That is partly their mission, is to be able to tell the Green Book story of Springfield. So Stacy Grundy from Root History will join us as well. And she'll highlight some of the locations that still stand in Springfield and the history that goes back on that as well.
And then just to wrap things up, Janae and Alvin, if people want to listen to the podcast before the webinar or after, can you give out the place where people can stay up to date and listen to episodes?
They can visit the website, www.drivingthegreenbook.com. There, they will not only see all of the episodes, but they'll also see our first of its kind collaboration with Apple. So not only are we on Apple Podcasts, but on Apple Maps, there's a virtual tour. So before the seminar, you can take that tour to the places we visited and learn about those on the website. We created a music playlist from that time that features many of the artists who created music about that time and the hits from those days. And then we curated a list of books if people want to do additional reading about it. So we're across the entire Apple ecosystem. And if you visit www.drivingthegreenbook.com, you can find it all.
Well, I'm definitely gonna have to check out that playlist and definitely share it with everybody. That sounds awesome. And just to wrap things up, is there anything else anybody would like to add today?
I do invite everyone to listen to and enjoy the podcast. We've talked about some really serious and heavy subjects, but I also would like to let folks know there are moments of levity and moments of joy in the podcast as well. This is a podcast that is about the ways in which African Americans were forced to survive in this country, but it is also the story of how we thrived and how resilient we are and continue to be and all that we have to offer this country. It really is, it's a fun podcast to listen to in addition to being informative and instructive. So I do hope that folks will subscribe and share the link with all of their friends.
Absolutely. I will add that same thing. Subscribe and listen multiple times and share with everyone you know. And then sign up for our webinar. It's February 10th at 7 p.m. And you can hear some of more detailed stories from Janae and Alvin, as well as Stacey Grundy from Root History.
You can subscribe to the Green Book for free at apple.co/drivingthegreenbook. And it's totally free and you have access to all of them. For me, the takeaway message is summed up in the final program by Frank Figures in Jackson, Mississippi. And he said, do what you can where you are with what you have to make the world a better place and a fair deal. I think that sums up the type of activism that can start in Springfield and in every city and town across America and spread.
Next, we'll hear a portion from an episode from Driving the Green Book.